This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and I have a most delightful guest. I have Penelope Smith, and she is the author of Animal Talk and Animal Spirit. And these books are like the Bibles of animal communication. They have endured many books come and go. These books are still on our shelves and still highlighted, underlined, and worshipped. Well, maybe worship's too strong a word, but revered. Yeah, so Penelope Smith has been doing telepathic animal communication since the 1970s, and she's got a lot to say all about how animals really feel, how they want us to understand them, and how we can do better by them. So Penelope, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome. Nice to be here. Thank you.
And I'm really enjoying being in your class, your online class on animal communication, Advanced Animal Whispering, I think. Is that what it's called? I forgot. Okay. So I just have a question for you. I know sometimes people, even people who work under the banner of spiritual teachers, will get into a conversation where they assume that humans are in some way spiritually superior to other kinds of animals. And how does it make you feel when you hear statements like that? And It's unbelievable. People still say things like that in this day and age, but they do.
Yeah, I recognize it as really just ignorance. It's an area that they really have not examined. Now, I've been lecturing and teaching since the 1970s, and I used to go to metaphysical bookstores, and people were really astounded. They said, "You mean animals evolve? You mean they're spiritual beings?" They were like, this was like foreign to them. Only humans were considered as evolving. The rest was something else. And it's a very objective view of the universe. You know, the rest is objects. We're the only ones that are conscious. We're the only ones evolving. So when I explained to them and gave them examples, and people started to wake up, they go, I just accepted the belief that animals were automatons.
Yeah.
And plants and mountains and rivers and everything are just, they just carry on. And I laugh because you realize that most of the processes in our body are completely unconscious. They're to us as the individual who is inhabiting the body, they just carry on. But I laugh because they assign that to all the rest of the universe, but don't realize that really, we're not in charge in the way we think we are. And, there's billions, trillions of beings in our body that are conscious and carrying on and cooperating with each other. If there weren't, we would not have a functioning body and we would not be able to do what we do as humans. So I just think it's really accepting the beliefs that have gone before, the Descartes beliefs of, oh, animals don't feel anything, you know, you can do anything you want with them, cut them open, everything's fine. Because, you know, don't mind that they're screaming, that means nothing. It's just an automatic response. Well, right. I think the same with women, Black people, you name it, any other Jewish people, you name it. Whatever group was chosen as supposedly lower was then regarded as not really human. And human means real, to be respected and alive. So then they would just call them, they would say, well, they're like animals.
Right.
And you see, they're like animals. What does that mean? Well, I'm very happy to be like an animal because basically in my physical form, I am, you know, and an animal means soul, spirit, breath, air, life. There's nothing different between the spiritual quality of human animals and other animals. So I just look at it, but I woke a lot of people up. I mean, people just shifted out of that old paradigm And many people who couldn't communicate with animals, like, you know, the shamanic people were similar. They go, well, power animals and spiritual guides. And I go, you know, it's the same thing. It you know, you're ignoring your domesticated animals, but the telepathy that you're doing with the power animals and your other spiritual guides, it's all the same. So why don't you communicate with your animals that are right there and cultivate their wisdom? And the same thing happened with them. People went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And they became animal communicators. I mean, that, again, was in the 80s. And just this constant shifting of consciousness. So it really still surprises me, since many spiritual leaders have shifted. You take someone like Deepak Chopra and many others who are very conscious that animals are not things. Yes. That they are spiritual beings, that they evolve, that they cooperate, that they help each other, that they help humans. On it goes. So that many are awakened, and then many stick to these old beliefs. Oh, humans are in the image of God and nothing else is. And I go, these are all interpretations. These are all translations of texts that were written well after this person who supposedly said them. You know, and on it goes. And I go, well, just look to the being, look to the animal. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot communicate with them, how can you know what's going on with them? Now, good observers, you people who actually observe and look, they see the reality of the spirit in animals. You know, I mean, my whole life, I've seen the spiritual quality of animals. So I've never understood it. I said, yes, you just look at them. It's real obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, just look at them. They're responding. They're alive. They're emotional. They make decisions. They don't like some things. I mean, you know, how can you not get that?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how many consultations I did early on. I don't think it happens so much now, but it will happen around the world for people who are pioneering in their own areas that have belief systems that say animals don't think, don't decide. But how many times in consultations people would say to me, he made a decision? Hmm. He decided that himself? You mean he's thinking about his life? I go, yes. And yes. So they would, you know, you could feel all the wheels turning and everything shifting inside of people. But really what it takes, Jeannie, is people need to look without the biases, without the prejudices. So if I look at you and I just go, well, this person couldn't communicate anything to me because she's just an object. Mm-hmm. You know, so I won't expect anything from her. And anything that comes out of her is just this automatic gibberish or something. You know, then I wouldn't hear a thing you said.
Right.
And I wouldn't recognize who you are at all. And that's what they've done to animals, plants, rivers, mountains, you know, all the things that are conscious and alive. And because the consciousness looks different, it's mm-hmm. expressed differently. This is what throws people. They're always looking in this human mirror and they go, well, if they don't express themselves like a human, but I've watched it, you know, for the last 50 years, I've watched it change. Mm-hmm. You know, all the things they used to think that separated humans from the rest. Tool using was a big one.
Right.
Then they found out there's all kinds of animals who use tools. Okay, then it was this, then it was that. It was one
right.
together that divided. And now these latest holdouts, who are spiritual leaders with lots of following, they're going, oh, well, this person who wrote to me, she was so upset about that. He said they can't make choices to change their actions. They are just going to act the way they're programmed.
Wow.
And I go, yeah. They can't make choices?
Yeah.
I go, you know, I mean, I go, whoa. I mean, he said, oh, but, you know, it's my observation and my intuition, and it's where he is at on the subject. I mean, you can't see what you won't see. You know, if you're programmed to that it's like this, it's hard to get through all that.
Sure.
You know, that's why I tell animal communicators, you got to be an open, open area. Your field has to be very clear and open for you to actually perceive and then receive and translate truly without all your stuff, without all your ideas. So these people have not learned in communication with others. You have to put your ideas aside. That goes the same for human communication.
Mm-hmm.
Until you put your ideas aside, you don't hear the other person. To get the freshness of their viewpoints, you can't, because your ideas are in the way and you get just your own feedback. You know, we humans are so good at this, doing this circular feedback of their own ideas instead of being surprised, you know, by what they get. You know, like with animals, I just find that every time I communicate with them, it's always something different.
It's always a surprise.
Yeah. Refreshing, because just like you get people from other cultures, it's a very similar thing. You know, you travel. Why is travel so eye-opening? You get other people's viewpoints that are very different than your own.
Right.
You start to see life can be lived and interpreted in a whole lot of different ways. So kind of out of our own cobwebs, these systems, and go, whoa, I never looked at it that way. Can you imagine, as you know, because you're an animal communicator, but can you imagine when people start communicating with other species? You're just going to crap. You're going to go, whoa, that's a whole nother way to look at the universe. And then in the species, there's all these individuals, and they're going to have their own take on life too.
Right. Every dog you talk to is different. Every horse you talk to is different. You know,
it's wonderful. And I just, why I get on my soapbox on these things, because it's my mission in life. So, I mean, this hits at the core of why I'm here, is to open up people to the spiritual nature of all life.
All life. Yes.
With all life, that it's all alive and it all communicates. And we're the ones that have to wake up. We're the ones that have to become more conscious in order to do this.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the turnaround.
People exactly.
Go into this superiority thing. Well, we are the ones who are evolving. We are the only ones who can change our minds. We are the only ones who can self-reflect. We actually self-reflect a little bit too much.
Yes.
We go round and round in our own thoughts and call it self-reflection.
Yeah.
So there you go. You got me on my soapbox.
Yes.
That's why I get on my soapbox.
Well, I think the world needs a little of that soap, you know, because sometimes when I talk with animal researchers, are doing wonderful work, you know, it's all part of the growth. Yeah. But then we'll get to the question of animal consciousness and the door slams shut. And so sometimes they'll tell me, well, you know, I think that too, but I would never say that out of public. Don't quote me. You know what I mean? Because it's still so risky for them to.
It's changed a lot. I know that it's still. People, you know, that paradigm is so rigid, and how you are accepted as a researcher and a scientist is very rigid still. And at the same time, it's changed so much. I've watched it, you know, over 50 years, I've watched it change, how people allow now that animals think, they make decisions, they have complex communication systems. They never would say that. They never say that animals had feeling. Since they were looking at it, that it was all automatic, they would study deer leaping around and playing with each other. Okay, they couldn't say the word play because that was too human. You know, that was being anthropomorphic. And finally, researchers would say, well, there's no other reason for it. I can't find any other physical evolutionary reason why they should be leaping around in this field with each other and playing and look like they're tagging, then they play. Now, it may have taken them years to come to that conclusion.
Yes.
You know, but it has changed so much. And now you get whole groups of scientifically oriented people who are scientists, who are researchers. And I had students who were biologists, other researchers, who added it to their understanding, this consciousness, and then added their own field and their own scientific research, which is happening now. There's a big movement now to make it, you know, acceptable, the communicate animal communication in a way that scientists can understand it. And also realizing, and I've been through this for so many years, you know, they try to apply rigid scientific method. And I go, You can't even do this with human communication. You can't apply this rigid scientific double-blind study because it's very flexible and it keeps changing. Emotions change, decisions change, thinking. You can't apply it like you can to, you know, the speed of this or that or, you know, physical phenomena. It's not the same. So these wonderful people who are doing research, they're developing new models of how can we test that this is really happening, but without the model that cuts it all out.
Right. Oh. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild times we live in. I mean, it's so good to talk to you because you have seen it from, you know, from the time where scientists couldn't utter the word consciousness in public to, well, they'll say, well, I don't know, but at least they'll say maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least
or that there is a consciousness here, you know, and they'll define it differently. I mean, there are many now spiritual leaders who also have scientific backgrounds, and they meld it together and they go, this shows consciousness.
Yes.
The fact that the animal did this and this and this shows consciousness. Now, before, they wouldn't have been open to that. Right. No, we can't go there. We can't go there. Yep. But now they go, well, this shows consciousness. They're making this decision. They're changing their behavior. I mean, why didn't they see that before? I mean, for me, it's been very obvious from, or before day one, I was going to say since day one, but before then, you know, that we're all alive and conscious and aware beings. But again, we express ourselves differently.
Right.
This is the things that catches people.
Yes.
They get so human oriented that they go, well, the only thing that's valid is if it's expressed in a human way.
Right, language or, yeah.
Lost it then.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a very short little break. When we come back, I want to hear some of your maybe early stories that where you just had an absolute experience. This animal has emotions. This animal is making choices. This animal has consciousness. We'll hear some of your wonderful stories in just a moment. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection, where I'm speaking with Penelope Smith all about animal consciousness. Now, I know you it's so real to you because you've had so many experiences of communicating with animals and seeing how they make choices, seeing how they have emotions, they have opinions. They choose play, for example, just to play. They love just to love. It doesn't have to be anything different from what we experience. But tell us maybe some of the stories that really, for you, opened your eyes maybe earlier. I know they've been open all along, but just to help people sort of understand kind of that the steps that you came to this deep understanding.
Well, I would say, again, for me, I always understood them this way. I just looked at, you know, I looked at animals that they just had different costumes. You know, they had a different body, so it's a different costume, but it's the same being. You know, we'd communicate to each other, no problem. They understood me. I understood them. I had a lot of relationships with wild animals, my domesticated animals. I would talk to them. They would understand me. They would listen. Okay, so some examples from my work as an animal communication specialist, where I was doing a lot of counseling. I started out with learning that animals responded the same way to human counseling techniques that helped people through traumas. So my first experience was how animals answered, responded. I mean, I knew they could communicate, but I went, well, okay, I've got an animal with a problem. And so why don't I just apply the same techniques that work with humans? I'll question them. I'll get them to express their emotions and help to release the trauma, and we'll see what happens. Well, now there's been a gazillion examples of that. I won't give my first example because that you can read Animal Talk for that. That was pretty dramatic. When I first applied counseling, the changes were enormous. But you see, this shows the consciousness. How can animals, if they didn't understand, if they weren't conscious, how could they respond to questions? How could they release traumas and change? Now, the thing is, as I always say to people, it's very experiential.
Yes.
It's right there. It's shown in their behavior. You don't have to go, well, how could I know you were communicating, because it's all silent. But, well, they just changed right in front of you. So I'll give you an example. This is one of my favorite ones. I'll never forget this one. This woman called me because she was concerned about her cat, who no longer was affectionate with her. In fact, every time she came in the door, the cat jumped onto the refrigerator and wouldn't come down until she went away. Now, this was opposite to their relationship that they had before. We're affectionate, you know, the usual loving and playing with each other. And so she was very concerned. And so this one was done in person. In the early days, I did a lot of communications in person. And so I knew nothing about the woman. I knew nothing about her life. I knew nothing about her cat. I went in there, I sat down, and sure enough, her cat was on the refrigerator, on the top of the refrigerator. So I began to communicate with the cat and asked her, so what's the scoop? What's going on? You know, why do you jump up to the refrigerator when your person comes in? What's happened? So she explained to me. She said, my person has stopped going to her meditation classes.
Ah.
I came here to help her to evolve spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very happy when she was going to her meditation classes. I could see the changes. And in fact, we loved meditating together. Okay, but then she stopped going and she's been very anxious and she wants to be close to me, but I won't be close to her until she does what she's meant to do on her spiritual path, because that's what I'm here for. So because the person wasn't listening to her, the cat just said, oh, I'm going to sit up here on the refrigerator till you get it.
Yeah.
So the woman said to me, well, yeah, I stopped going. I mean, you know, I didn't know anything about this woman going to meditation classes. She said, yeah, I stopped because I started working overtime. And then when the overtime and we made more money. And then when the overtime ended, my boss said, well, we have an opportunity if you want to keep on. We have lots of work. She continued because she wanted to make more money. But that meant no more time for meditation classes. So she was working, making a lot of money, and her cat noticed this.
Yeah.
And noticed that she also was getting less aware, less evolved. She was going down the tubes, according to the cat. And so the woman said, yeah, I just got into the money thing. You know, I just really got to be a really wow thing for me to have more money.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that, you know, I was definitely getting more anxious and my life was getting more frazzled. And I said, well, if you want your cat to respond well to you, then you're going to have to go back to your meditation classes and take your, you know, your money motivation out the door, you know. And she said, I didn't quite say it like that, but, you know, that was kind of the cat's viewpoint.
Right.
And she said, yeah. I really realized that. And, you know, I knew my cat understood me. I knew my cat was taking care of me. I didn't realize that she had, as you said, come here as a guide for me. And now it makes total sense. She said, yeah, I will go back. And as soon as she said that, The cat jumped down to the from the refrigerator, came over to me first, thanked me, heard on my lap, and then went over to the person. And, you know, there it is. They demonstrate their consciousness. Of course, the person went back to her meditation classes. They had a happy relationship again. I mean, how could you explain this otherwise than that the cat understood that the cat has a higher consciousness? Mm-hmm. In fact, in this way, was more spiritually aware than her person. She knew what was important in life.
Right.
She knew what was important. And she was taking care of her person.
Yes.
You see, these are things that the spiritual leaders and other people don't have any concept of. And I can demonstrate it over and over and over again, how animals show this consciousness.
I have a question for you. Do some people say that people and animals can reincarnate back and forth? What has been your experience? Have some of the animals that you've met been people before and then chosen to be an animal? Maybe tell us a story.
And vice versa. You know, I've had experience is in other animal forms that I totally enjoyed. And they helped me in my life because I also remembered my past lives, unlike most humans. So, plus part of my counseling training was past life regression. It raised my consciousness on the whole thing. But what I found is that beings go from life to life according to their journeys, according to what will best evolve them. What pieces of the puzzle are they missing to come back to oneness and wholeness, to be in union with the total divine, which is in and around all of us? So what is missing? So you'll take some humans who will just say, you know what? I need to learn how to really love. It's to love without any object, without any reason. I'm going to be a dog.
Yeah.
And so they'll spend a lifetime as a dog and they'll really feel it in their whole being. They'll go, I get what pure devotion is.
Yeah.
I get what pure union is. I get it on a whole nother level. So then they go back, then the next lifetime, they go back to being human and apply it, what they learned.
Uh-huh.
They're more generous. They're more loving. They may work with animals or they may work with other humans, helping to care for them, helping homeless people, whatever it is. Uh-huh. But the point is we go according to what is our evolution, what is helpful. See, it's not this. Again, there's this old style thinking that, okay, since animals are lower, well, if you're bad this lifetime, you've done evil things, you're going to be a microbe or you're going to be a frog or whatever. What's that mean? I mean, that makes me sick to even think of that because microbes and frogs have incredible consciousness, incredible awareness about who they are in the web of life, and also their awareness of themselves as spiritual beings living a different experience, living as a frog, living as a microbe, living as a human, which many humans do not have.
Yes.
You see, the mind thing of humans, while we have definitely incredible powers of creativity with our minds, we also have a trap here.
Mm-hmm.
The trap is to go into this kind of analysis where we do separate ourselves from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that we're superior instead of seeing that it's all one interconnected life.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you a big question, which is, you know, in general, like with all your years of communicating with animals and plants and rivers and trees and birds and everybody, what is your sense of how they see us as humans? How do they see us?
They're very benevolent. You know, what I would say the biggest lesson that I learned from communicating with animals over all kinds of species, including what people consider inanimate, you know, which is there's nothing that is inanimate. It's all alive. But anyway, all this experience, you know what I found?
Right.
Incredible compassion.
Mm.
They understand that humans have it very hard. That humans are pretty unconscious for the most part, you know, all humans. And obviously there are many humans that are very conscious and do incredible, beautiful things on this earth. But animals look at humans and they go, a lot of humans. And they go, wow, you've got to stay away from them because, boy, they are so unconscious, they'll kill you.
Mm.
Or they'll kill each other. Or they'll kill themselves, you know. So there's a caution, say, among wild animals, obviously a good caution.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a compassion. So when you do connect, when you can reach out, or even when you need help, how many stories are there, documented stories of animals who supposedly can eat and hurt humans, take in human babies who are lost, you know? And these are documented stories. I mean, or take care of them or lead people to them to save a child who's injured. I mean, there's all kinds of, again, documented stories. So I just go, animals have, again, a reasonable fear. You got to be afraid of what can hurt you. And they also have tremendous compassion, whether they're domesticated animals who know us so closely and have even more compassion. They go, oh my gosh, humans, stop. They get so lost, you know, just like that cat sitting on the refrigerator going, oh my God, she's up in her head and her anxiety. She's all in her fear. She doesn't ever come into the present moment like she did when she was meditating.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they sit and they look at us and they go, wow, wow. And so there's tremendous compassion because they have tremendous love.
Well,
you know, so they go, wow, I'm going to help my person. I'm going to help her to wake up, but I'm also going to help her through the challenge of being human. I mean, the human condition is a very challenging condition. It's full of contradictions. I would say that animals don't generally have, of course, domesticated animals take on a lot of things that are part of the human condition,
but right.
Most animals do not have all these contradictions.
Yes.
It's pretty straightforward. You know, I'm on my mission. I do this part in the web of life. I also have my individual mission as a spirit to grow in a certain way in this lifetime. So I'm going to attract certain experiences. You know, I'm going to relate to humans while my other beings of my kind don't want to relate to humans. I do,
uh-huh.
You know, and so you get animals, wild animals who are emissaries, you know, who just reach out. They come up on your doorstep. You know, and other animals are going, why are you doing that?
Right.
Whoa, you know. So a tremendous understanding among animals about humans. They get it. They look at you. I mean, look back at them. They're assessing you. You know, that rat you think is a lower being. He's got you completely, your number there. Talk about, you know, if you want to talk about who's closest to humans, look at these guys who assess all the time. They have to live close to humans, so they have to assess mental things.
Yes.
You know, the raccoons, the rats, the microbes who are constantly trying to survive and assess what humans are doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is quite an amazing thing. So you look at them and you see their consciousness. You see their awareness. You see how they're making decisions. Just look at them.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And that they choose to relate to us, to me, is always a privilege, wild animals.
Yes.
To me, it's always this incredible privilege because most humans are dangerous.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So that they relate to us, that they look at you, and then the animals in my area, they look at me and they go, oh, it's her. You know,
it's her. I don't have to worry, you know.
That's so nice. Well, before we leave, maybe if you could just be for people who are just starting on their journey of opening their hearts and their minds to animal communication, what's one piece of advice for the beginner's mind, for the beginner?
Yeah, is just spend time out in nature. Spend time just being quiet out in nature and observing. Open yourself up to observation. Obviously, nature, being out in nature, we get calmer. All these studies show that, you know, when just walk on a path wherever you are, whether you're in a city or whatever. Walk on a path where there are trees, where there are birds. Sit and just be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Practice just coming back down to earth, out of the head, back down to earth, and look around you.
Yes.
And your awareness will start to open to the consciousness of other beings. Be open to the idea that they're conscious living beings. And see what happens.
Great. Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful advice. Well, Penelope Smith, author of Animal Talk and Animal Spirit, it's been just so wonderful to have you on the show. I know we're just skimming the surface of so much we could talk about for many, many episodes, but thank you for being here. And thank you for the great work that you've done and that you are doing and that you will do. You've done so much to open the path for others.
Thank you, Jeannie.
All right. We'll see you again. I'm Jeannie Joseph, and you've been listening to The Human-Animal Connection. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human-Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.